Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Said to begin in 1783, when the Montgolfier brothers made their first ascent in a fire balloon. On the eve of their momentous ascent, the brothers took one last look at their craft as it stood on the fields of Annecy.
This is a great moment for us, Joseph.
It is a great moment for France.
Are we?
The first ascent in a hot air balloon by the Montgolfier brothers. 1783. I can see us now, just after Montesquieu and just before Mozart.
I think I'll go and wash.
Good luck.
Oh, it's quite easy, really. I'll just slap a little water on my
face. No. Oh, good luck for tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Yes, you too. Yours has been the work.
Let us hope for a safe ascent. And don't use my flannel.
You know, when you showed me the plans in Paris, I could not believe that we should be the first men who would fly.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I'm so excited I could hardly wash.
Yes, I too have had some difficulty washing these past few days.
Still, what is washing when we're on the verge of a great scientific breakthrough?
Jacques?
Yes, Joseph?
I've not been washing very thoroughly for many years now.
What do you mean? You must have been washing your face.
Oh, yes, my face. I've washed my face. But my legs, my stomach, my chest, they're filthy.
Well, I don't wash my stomach every day.
Oh, but you wash far more than me. You are the cleaner of the Montgolfier brothers.
This is nothing, Joseph. I may be...
Mr. Montgolfier, a Mr. Parfit to see you, sir.
No, a Bartlett.
Mr. Bartlett to see you, sir.
No, Bartlett, with a T.
Mr. Bartlett to see you, sir.
Bartlett.
Barkett.
Bartlett.
Bartlett. Bartlett. Hey, Mr. Bartlett to see you, sir.
I don't want to see anyone or two. Tell him to go away.
Thank you, sir.
Well, it's getting late. I must go and have a wash.
What will you be washing?
Oh, just my face and neck. Perhaps my feet and possibly... But no. Lock up the plans, Joseph. Tomorrow they will make us the toast of France. The first ascent by the Montgolfier brothers in a balloon. Just after Bullcock and just before Bang. What a position.
So on June 7th, 1783, the Montgolfier brothers had a really good wash. Starting on his face and arms, Joseph Michael Montgolfier went on to scrub his torso, his legs, and his naughty bits, before rinsing his whole body. That June night, he and his brother between them washed 17 square feet of body area. They used 1.5 kilos of carbolic soap and nearly 14 gallons of nice hot water. It was, indeed, an impressive sight. Next week, on the Golden Age of Ballooning, we examine the work of Glaisher and Coxwell, the English balloonists who ascended to a height of 7 miles in 1862 without washing. There's also a book called The Golden Age of Ballooning, published by the BBC to coincide with the series. It's in an attractive hand-tooled binding, is priced £5, and failure to buy it will make you liable to a £50 fine or 3 months in prison. There's also a record of someone reading the book of The Golden Age of Ballooning, a crochet-work bedspread with the words The Golden Age of Ballooning on it, available from the BBC, price £18, or 5 months imprisonment. And there are matching toilet seat covers and courtesy mats with illustrations of many of the balloons mentioned. Also available is a life-size model frog which croaks the words Golden Age of Ballooning and an attractive Baker-like case for storing motorway construction plans in, made in the shape of a balloon. And now, another chance to see episode 2 of the award-winning series, The Golden Age of Ballooning.
Balloons. Your beautiful house is full of bits and pieces of balloons. Your books are all about balloons. Every time you sing a song, it is in some way obliquely connected with balloons. Everything you eat has to have the word balloon incorporated in the title. Your dogs are all called Balloono. You tie balloons to your ankles in the evening.
I don't do that.
Well, no, you don't do that. But you do duck down and shout, "Hey, balloons," when there are none about. Oh, your whole life is becoming obsessively balloonic, you know. Oh, why do I have to hang from this bloody gas bag all day? Gentlemen, anything to you?
Oh, ma chérie, you mean much to me than any heavier than air do.
Oh, there you go again!
Don't waggle!
Oh. I'll run your bath for you, Joseph. Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize...
It's all right. We've done the difficult bit.
Well, don't forget we have our special guest coming this evening.
Oh?
Don't tell me you've forgotten already. The man who was giving us thousands of francs for your experiments.
What man?
Louis the 14th.
Isn't he dead?
Evidently not.
All right, I'll be round.
Oh, and Joseph.
Yes, Jack?
You will wash, won't you?
Yes, of course.
His Royal Majesty, Louis the 14th of France.
And Mr. Bartlett.
Your Majesty, it is a great privilege. Welcome to our humble abode.
It's very nice to be here.
Oh, too,
sir.
Claret for His Majesty, please.
There's a Mr. Bartlett outside again, sir.
Now I can't see him. We have the King of France here.
Yes, sir.
Your Majesty, you had a pleasant journey, I trust?
Yes, yes, oh, definitely, yes, yes. Oh, aye.
You have come from Paris?
Where?
From Paris. You have traveled from Paris?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We've come from Paris, yes. Oh, yes, yes. We've just come from Paris, yes.
Sir?
Yes, O'Toole.
Which one is the claret, sir?
The claret is in the decanter.
The wooden thing?
No, the glass thing. The glass decanter with the round glass stopper.
Oh, yes, behind the door.
No, on the sideboard.
The sideboard?
The sideboard, yes. Look, you go into the salle à manger, the dining room, right? And the sideboard's on your left by the wall. Beside the master's portrait.
Ah, above the mirror, sir.
No, the mirror's on the other side. It's opposite the mirror.
But that's the table, sir.
No, you don't go as far as the table. You go into the room, right? On your right is the doors of the orangery. Straight ahead of you is the doors of the library. Then to your left is the sideboard.
Ah, yes, I see, sir.
And the claret is on top of the sideboard, to the left.
On the left?
Yes.
As one looks at it, sir?
Yes.
I see, sir. Thank you.
O'Toole.
Yes, sir?
Will you please tell Monsieur Joseph our guest is here?
Yes, sir.
Ah, I'm sorry about that, Your Majesty.
Right, she.
Apparently, sir, there's a plan to build a canal between the two Egyptian
Not
towns.
Not now,
Well, Mr. Montgolfier, let's not beat around the bush. My dukes and I are very busy men. What we'd like to do is see the plans of your proposed balloon, if that's at all possible.
Certainly, Your Majesty. I have them here ready prepared.
Oh, great. Now, what we'd like to do is take these back with us for the Royal Archives of France. Right.
Well, it is indeed a great honor, Your Majesty, that I cannot refuse.
Right, okay, let's get them.
Just a moment.
Joseph!
That man is not Louis the 14th.
Joseph, are you out of your mind?
I've been looking it up in my bath. Louis the 14th died in 1717. It's now 1783. Answer me that.
Did I say Louis the 14th? I'm sorry, I meant Louis the 15th.
He died in 1774.
All right. Louis the 16th.
Listen to me, smartass. When you're king of France, you've got better things to do than go around all day remembering your bloody number. All right, do you want to argue about numbers?
No.
Right, well, let's get hold of these plans for the Royal Archives. We've got to get back to
Paris
by tonight, so come on.
I've gone as far as the sideboard.
Hey, stop it!
No news on the canal, I'm afraid, sir, but apparently in India, they're thinking of building a railway between the towns of Lahore.
Will Louis XIV get away with the Montgolfiers' precious plans? Is 16 years of work to be stolen by this suspect sovereign? Is France really in the grip of a Glaswegian monarch? Watch next week's episode of The Golden Age of Ballooning, now.
Now that the government has collapsed and shown itself incapable of providing any kind of unifying force, I feel that we do need the kind of stability and the breathing space that a military presence would provide.
Your interest.
Yes, I agree the army should take over, but I think it should not interfere with the programme of street executions, which I feel have been the shot in the arm that the British economy so desperately needed.
Yes, the Montgolfier brothers' plans did indeed turn up. 6 months later, and a long way from Paris, at the court of King George III of England.
Titty was very worried. Where could Mary be? He looked everywhere, under the stones and behind the bushes, and Mr. Squirrel helped him by looking up in the trees, and Mr. Badger helped him by looking under the ground. And so, Your Majesty, we the Commons do here in Craven.
Your Majesty, Louis the 18th is here.
Who is Louis the 18th?
He is the King of France, Your Majesty. This is a great moment to have, sir.
There is no Louis the 18th.
Psst. No one to stop talking about Louis the 17th.
He craves Your Majesty's pardon. He has had a long journey here and miscounted. He is Louis the 17th.
Louis the 16th is dead already?
Your Majesty, I'm Louis the 16th. Oh, Christ. Your Majesty, I'm Louis the 16th, as you so rightly say. And I don't want to muck about. I've got a wee proposition which could make the name of George the 4th the most respected in Europe.
George the 3rd?
George the 3rd, sorry. Where can we talk?
Oh, did you see that? Oh, we shall have a state banquet at St. James's Palace.
No, I don't want to hang about. I don't want to take or leave it. You know, I've got to get back to Paris by tonight, you know.
Must you leave us, Louis?
Yeah, I'd rather just sell the plans and nip off, Georgie boy.
Well, all right. We shall buy the plans if you will undertake to disengage your troops in America.
Do I?
And I shall give you £10,000 for the plans.
£10,000? Right, all right, we'll disengage the, you know, like you said, we'll disengage them. Tell you what, hen, I'll put a duke onto it, okay? Right.
Oh, that's the worst thing you could do to anybody.
You asked for it, sonny.
Oh, you could have broken my bloody nose.
I'll break your balloon.
No, when you saw it, you was right on the boom.
North, will you send for the Duke of Portland? We have a financial matter to discuss.
Well, it really hurt.
No, dear, I think it's better if you give the money to us. You know, we're going back, we've got a bag.
No, don't worry, Louis. We shall talk to your Monsieur Necker.
Ah, well, actually, we'd rather you didn't, you know. We've had a wee bit of trouble with him recently, you know what I mean?
Monsieur Necker, the man who introduced so many valuable reforms and proved so popular despite his opposition to Mirabeau's policy of issuing assignats?
Yeah. But, the trouble is, he's been drinking a bit recently, you know, 14 lagers with his breakfast, that sort of thing.
Well, very well, Louis.
Just a moment!
Oh, Christ!
What are you doing?
I am Joseph Montgolfier, the inventor of the fire balloon. The man before you is an imposter.
Oh, no, I am not, honestly.
No, not you, Your Majesty. This man, this Louis, the so-called King of France man. What number did he give you this time? Louis the 23rd?
I got it right.
Yeah, I bet you took a few guesses.
What's a new spotty sassanite?
Your Majesty, the bloody sassanite. And Mr. Bartlett.
now. We have had nothing.
He can look after himself.
Oh, but he had only on a towel, you know.
Antoinette, from now on, there is only one Montgolfier brother.
But Louisa Fortis has the plans. Oh, you must wait until Joseph returns.
The plans are here, chérie. Let me put my tongue in your mouth.
What do you mean?
Well, we're supposed to be French, aren't we?
No. I mean, what are the plans with Joseph after his chasing?
Please, let me put it in a little
one. Oh, Jacques, the plans!
I take it out if you don't like it.
No, listen to me.
Please,
I
want
to...
Are you sure the claret was on the left of the sideboard? Yes, or two, it's always been there.
Well, I look for one more month, sir.
Please let me put my tongue.
By the way, sir, Mr. Bartlett has gone, sir. He said he couldn't wait any longer.
Thank you, O'Toole.
Not at all, sir. I've enjoyed being in it.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Mademoiselle. Sir, Mr. Bartlett has gone, sir. He said he couldn't wait any longer, sir.
Thank you, O'Toole.
Not at all, sir. I've enjoyed being in it. Thank you, sir. Mademoiselle.
Composed by Neil Innes. He's available from the BBC, price £4, or 8 months in prison.
That was episode 3 of the Golden Age of Ballooning. May I remind you that there's still time to get your Golden Age of Ballooning suppositories direct from the BBC, price £4.50 or £19 for a set of 6. Well, in a moment, the BBC will be closing down for the night. But first, here is a party political broadcast on behalf of the Norwegian party.
Escutar. Is blöst men fönste föra i Norge partiga slöda fader. Ja, und der kleder för konstsanta fäder var. I Norge vi hade vönste den förlöste fäder fäder från Europa. Vi hade snöga bräna flöda bjönste deine hörene. Heste klören pega slöda fönste fönste ner. Was lene horken snöna flöda fäder var. Es kleuren, das schnieren, glera schnafen, hofen, herren. Es punt glera, hos nisten sleder, herren. Hecken tena in tronde heima, wie hassen sleder.
Highlights of that broadcast will be discussed later by Lord George Brown, ex-Foreign Secretary, Mr. Sven Olofsson, the ex-Norwegian Minister of Finance, Sir Charles Ohlendorf, ex-Chairman of the Norwegian Trades Council, Mr. Hamish McLavell, the mayor of Wick, the nearest large town to Norway, Mrs. Betty Norday, whose name sounds remarkably like Norway, Mr. Brian Waynor, whose name is an anagram of Norway, Mr. and Mrs. Ford, whose name sounds like fjord, of which there are a lot in Norway, Ron and Christine Boslow.
Von Zeppelin was born in Konstanz in 1838, the brother of Barry Zeppelin, the least talented of the 14 Zeppelin brothers.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, for Ferdinand von Zeppelin, the year 1908 was a year of triumph.
Herr Zeppelin, it's wonderful. It's put ballooning right back on the map.
It's not a balloon, do you hear? It's not a balloon. It's an airship. An airship, do you hear?
Well, it's very nice, isn't it?
Tell me, what is the principle of these balloons?
It's not a balloon, you stupid, thick-headed Saxon git! It's not a balloon! Balloons is for kiddie vinkies! If you want to play with balloons, get outside!
Yorkshire pudding. A type of thick pancake eaten with large pieces.
Name the balloon after Bismarck.
Bismarck? Of course I'm not calling it after Bismarck. It's a Zeppelin. It's nothing to do with bloody Bismarck.
Surely he gave you some money for it.
Get outside!
Zabaglione. A sort of cream mousse of Italian origin.
Ferdinand, that was a minister of state you just threw out of the balloon.
It's not a balloon! It's an airship!
All right, I'm sorry.
All right, go and have a look!
No, I'm fine here, thank you. Zucchini. Italian mouse. Zingara. A garnish of finely chopped or shredded lean ham. Tongue. Mushrooms and truffles. Zakuski. A Russian hors d'oeuvre. Pieces of slice.
Oh, look! It's the Chancellor!
What? Prince von Bülow? Here?
Yeah?
Coming here?
No, no, he is here.
Oh, I must go and put my old uniform on.
He won't notice helmet. He's dead.
Dead? Here?
Yeah, in our sitting room.
This is our sitting room, dear.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
The drawing room.
Yeah, then it's a kind of sitting room.
Well, yes.
Look!
Which one is von Bülow? Here, look.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Admiral Tirpitz?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And von Müller and Reichner?
Oh, yeah.
And Holweg?
Oh,
and von Gromberg?
Das ist Gromberg? Das ist Gromberg?
Oh, yeah. This is the
Moltke.
Oh, yeah. He's a lot older than I thought.
Oh, yeah. He's a clever man, yeah.
And Zimmermann?
Yeah.
And Klimt?
Oh, Klimt, yeah. Oh. What should we do, Helmut?
We must ring the government.
This is the government.
Oh, dear.
It is a great honor to have so many members of the government dead in our sitting room.
Drawing room?
Yeah, well.
There are no members of the government dead in our sitting room.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Perhaps I should make a little speech or something.
No, not a speech, Helmut, no.
Shall we make them a cup of tea?
That would be a waste of tea.
But we must do something. So many important people in our drawing room must do something.
We could sort them out.
And make a little list.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Could we put the ministers for internal affairs over against the wall, yeah, and those for internal here by the clock?
And we can sort them out alphabetically?
Yeah. Nine. We just put the cleanest by the door.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Here we are. Oh, oh. No, no, no. This is von Bülow. He must go over here.
But that is my reading chair.
He is the Reich Chancellor of Germany, Helmut.
All right, but I think he would have been better up against the clock, you know.
Oh, you got it nice under the clock.
I did not say under the clock. I said against the clock.
Well, Zenvia could not see the clock.
All right, but they put the minister for the colonies under the clock. He's small.
No, no, colonies are internal affairs. You must work against the wall. Education.
Ah. Soon we'll be able to make a list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Who's that by the cat litter?
I don't know. I've never seen him before.
He is not a member of the government. Get him out of here. Put him in the drawing room.
He's in the drawing room, my dear.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Put him in the sitting room.
Yeah, yeah, the sitting room. Drawing room is all the same.
Put him in the sitting room if he's in the drawing room.
Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin's behavior on that flight in 1900 had incredible, far-reaching consequences. For one of the falling ministers, the talented Herr von Meintlitz, architect of the new German expansionist farm policy, fell on top of an old lady in Nijmegen, killing her outright. Her daughter, Alice, suffered severe cerebral damage from the talented minister's heavy briefcase, but was nursed back to life by an English doctor, Henderson. Eventually they married, and their eldest son, George Henderson, was the father of Mike Henderson, producer and director of the Golden Age of Ballooning. Mr. and Mrs. Rita Trondheim, Reginald Bozanque, who would be next to Norway in a rhyming dictionary, if it included proper names, and if he pronounced his name like that.